Excellent. You guys can have a seat, and the kids can go to Children's Church. We have been walking our way through the book of Genesis, and last week was our final week in the book of Genesis, and a little bit sad to come to the end of that. My son, I was talking about the sermon this week to my kids, and my son said, Hey, I'm excited to start the book of Exodus. And I said, well, I don't know if we're starting the book of Exodus. We're going to do a couple of topical things here, and I'm praying through what God will lead us to next. Most likely, it's going to be a New Testament epistle. So that's kind of what we're looking at. But I wanted to talk about something that's super important to me, and that topic is parenting and leadership. Parenting and leadership. And so we're going to kind of dive into that maybe for the next couple weeks. And I just want to kind of go over some biblical things that have to do with parenting and leadership. Now, I know some of you may not be parents yet, or you have the kids and they're gone, and maybe even their kids are gone. But I think there's stuff in this for all of us in terms of leadership and things like that. So let's do this. You know that there's an old saying that nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. In other words, you go into a field and you clear out a field and you get some nice dirt out there. That might not happen in Ocean View, but other places where they have dirt, and there's nothing there. And what's going to happen? It's not going to take too long, and some stuff's going to sprout up in that area. And nature abhors like this lack of anything being there. And whenever there's a space, nature will fill it. Okay? And that's one of God's creations. And leadership is like that too. That whenever there's a situation, if there isn't leadership, leadership abhors a vacuum. And that area that no one is leading in, someone will start leading. Okay? And if that person that ends up in your home is 2 years old and you're not leading, they will lead. Okay? And they will dictate what is happening in the home. Okay? And so that's one of the reasons that I've been emphasizing our vision and our focus for our church over the last few weeks. As a church, Ocean View Baptist Church is where God's love is proclaimed, experienced, and expressed. Okay? That is what we're about as a church. It's where God's love is proclaimed, experienced, and expressed. And we have three core values. We don't have a lot of them. We don't have like 15 core values or even 7 core values. We only have 3. And the reason we have 3 is because I don't have a great memory. Okay? And I need it simple. Okay? And we can really break it down into 3 things. Okay? Number 1, Ocean View Baptist Church is a safe place for kids to learn about Jesus. Okay? In Ocean View, there are not a lot of safe places for kids. And we are about kids. Some of you think that we have a children's church to take care of the kids. Well, I preach, and the exact opposite is true. We are a children's ministry where I take care of you while the kids are experiencing God. Okay? We're about kids. We're about kids. We're about families. Okay? Second thing is we're a place where authentic relationships happen. Authentic relationship between me and God, and authentic relationship between you and I. Okay? We want to be about authentic, God-honoring relationships. Okay? So the first one is kids. The second one is relationships. And the third one, the third thing that we're about is giving. We're about giving. The most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, when he loved the world, he gave. And we're about giving our time, talent, and treasure. Okay? And those are the three things that we are known for in this community. And really, we're a safe, real, giving church. Amen. We're a safe, real, giving church. And if when you come in here, if you can catch that vision, we want everyone in the canoe to be paddling, and we all want to paddle in the same direction. Okay? And that's how we take ground for Jesus Christ. Now, we do that in our church. Churches that don't have direction and vision and core values, they go nowhere. Okay? They become a fun place for some people to come and eat potlucks and things like that. Okay? But we want to take ground for Jesus Christ. Businesses that don't have direction and vision, they kind of just flounder. You know, they make a few sales and things like that, but they don't really grow. They're not really healthy. They're not. And you know what? The same is true about our families. If our families don't have vision and direction and core values, we're going to flounder. And where there is a leadership vacuum, where there is a place where mom and dad aren't saying, this is who we are, this is what we're about, this is what we do, people will find that leadership from other teenagers in their high school. And instead of being about Jesus Christ, they'll be about drugs, they'll be about alcohol, they'll be about sex, they'll be about what the world says is good. Okay? And so that is why we need leaders. We need leaders in our churches, we need leaders in our businesses, we need leaders in our families. And I don't know if you know this, but God's design for the way society works begins with the smallest unit and works its way up to the largest unit. It doesn't begin with big government. It doesn't begin with presidents and senators and representatives and judicial. That's not where it begins. It begins with the family. It begins with father, husband, wife, children. Okay? And that unit is where all the growth and all the learning and all of the love is supposed to happen. Okay? And so that was God's design for the family. That is God's design for leadership. And so when we talk about leadership, we want to talk about this smallest unit, this place where you and I are supposed to exercise our leadership skills. And if we can learn them there, if we can grab a hold of what's happening in this arena, it can expand to bigger things. Now, maybe sometimes you'll find people that are really, really good at business. They've got their business life down. They've got all of the business stuff working. And then their family life isn't real great. And why does that happen? That happens because they know how to be a leader, they know how to do things, they know how to get things done, but they haven't necessarily applied that to their family unit. Okay? But I believe that this is God's birthplace to teach you leadership skills. If you're a parent, if you are in a relationship, that is where it can you can learn these principles, and then those principles can be expanded. Okay? Now, let me give you a couple of things about leadership. First off, leadership should reflect the character of God. The greatest leader in the universe is God. Now, I just want to touch on a couple things here. We'll get a couple more as we go through. But number one that I want to talk about is God is perfect love. And he's perfect justice. God is perfect love and he's perfect justice. In fact, the capstone, the hub that the history revolves around is the death of Jesus Christ. And the death of Jesus Christ is where God's perfect love and God's perfect justice met. In one moment in time, those things met together, and both of them were complete, both of them were perfect, and both of them were satisfied. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Let's talk about this for just a second. What does justice mean? Justice means that you get what you deserve. You do something wrong, you are punished for it. The Bible says what you and I have done wrong is called sin. Okay? Sin is anything I say, think, or do that's displeasing to God. In fact, it's anything I say, think, or do that goes against the character of God. In other words, God's character is truth. So if we tell a lie, we are not displaying the character of God. And because we're not displaying a character of God, he's the standard. Because we're not doing that, there's a consequence for that. And the consequence for our sins is separation from God. Okay? Think about it for a second with me. Hell, if you've maybe heard of heaven and hell, we talk about heaven being like a perfect place where only good things happen, no sorrow, no pain, no problems. Okay? That sounds a lot like God. No sorrow, no pain, no problem, complete, perfect love. Okay? Hell is the absence of God. Right? And so the consequence for your sin and my sin is to be separated from God. And God has to punish sin. But if God has to punish sin and he was perfect justice but not perfect love, you and I would be in a world of hurt. But Jesus loved you and I so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus came and he gave his life upon the cross so that you and I could be forgiven for our sins and so that we don't have to spend an eternity in hell. We can spend an eternity with God in heaven. Okay? And so on the cross, God's justice came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ took the punishment that you and I deserved. Okay? Think about that. Perfect love and perfect justice in one moment of time. Okay? And his sacrifice satisfies both those requirements. Now, when you and I do leadership, we need to do it like Jesus. Perfect love and perfect justice. Perfect love and perfect justice. We're going to get a little bit more into that. Second characteristic of God that we see in God's leadership is he is consistent. He is consistent. And I believe that one of the keys to parenting is consistency. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But raise your hand if you wondered if the sun was going to come up this morning. In fact, there's apps on your phone or there's schedule. You know exactly when high tide's going to be. You know exactly when low tide's going to be. You know exactly when the sun's going to rise to the millisecond. You know exactly when it's going to go down. That is a picture of the consistency of God. And God is super consistent, isn't he? He consistent. You know what? It doesn't matter if you have been a good person this week, or whether you've sinned a lot this week, God loves you the same in either case. You cannot earn any more of God's love, and he cannot love you any less. That's pretty consistent. Right? Third thing about God and what we see in Jesus is servant leadership. Servant leadership. When I lead, my leadership should be not for my benefit, but for your benefit. Okay? And so those are three things. Now, we're going to keep moving. I got a lot of material to cover here, and I'm not moving very fast. And I know you all want to eat lunch at a reasonable time. So when we lead, we need to keep in mind that our leadership may benefit us, but our leadership is not for us. Our leadership is for the people that we're leading. Okay? Let me show you something. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, the last part of Ephesians chapter 5, and the first part of Ephesians chapter 6, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's giving people this idea of how we're supposed to relate with one another. Okay, in family relationships. He's going to talk with husbands and wives. He's going to talk with fathers and children. And he's going to talk with masters and servants. Okay, we're going to leave the husbands and wives this week. And we're going to look at fathers with children. Look in chapter 6. And he's already started with the husband. But in chapter 6, we're going to start with children. Look at what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bringing them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, and let's just stop there. Well, let's keep going. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and in sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Okay, now let's just, I want to talk about a couple of cultural issues, and then we'll go back and work our way through this. Back in Paul's day, they had slaves. Okay, now the slavery in Paul's day wasn't like the slavery in America. Okay, and I don't think what Paul is saying here is that slavery is right. What he's saying is that is how this culture worked. There was slaves, and there was masters, and if a kingdom were to get into a war with another kingdom and you were to go into that kingdom and conquer that kingdom, those people became your slaves. Okay? So in your household, you might have a slave that was like a someone who did your laundry and stuff like that, and that's what we usually think of. But you might also have a doctor or a lawyer. Okay, in Paul's day, you could have someone who was way smarter than you, way more educated. You could say, okay, doc, why don't you, we're going to open up a practice for you, and you're going to practice medicine, and I'm going to make the money. Okay, or lawyer, we're going to get you into the courtroom, and you're going to argue cases, and we're going to make, you know, you might not have any education at all, but if you had a lawyer who was a slave, so it wasn't as demeaning as it was in the American slavery. With that said, here's the idea. There was someone who was in charge, there was a master, and there was someone who was subservient to them. Okay? Now, let's think about this for a second. We have kind of this thing happening in our society today. We just don't call it slaves and masters. We call it employer and employee. Okay? There's a order. Now, I want to show you something. If you have your Bible open, again, look at verse 5. We have a word in here that occurs 3 different times, and it's not a popular word today. Okay? Slaves, what's that second word?
Obey.
Obey. Now, look at how they're supposed to obey. At the last part of verse 5, do it with fear and respect, sincerity of heart, as you would obey Christ. What is Paul saying? The way that you're supposed to obey God, that's how you're supposed to respond to your boss. Okay? Now, verse 6. What's the first word of verse 6? Obey. It's occurred 3 times. This is an important concept here. Okay? Now, let's stop for a second and let's go back up to the top. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Children, what's the next word?
Obey.
Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? Now, Let me just go over the little clause in there. Children, obey your parents. There's not a period there. It says, in the Lord. In other words, children, who's a child? A child is, in our society, a child is anyone under the age of 18, or I believe anybody who's still living in their parents' house. Okay? You'd be 35 and still be a child. Here's the thing. If you're living under your parents' house, if you're living on their nickel, you have a responsibility to obey them. Okay? Now, this little clause in there that Paul's going to give us is, in the Lord. In the Lord. In other words, if they say, go murder that guy for me, you don't have to obey them because God's law trumps your parents. But if it's not something sinful, your responsibility is to obey. Okay? Now, all of us have the responsibility to honor your father and mother. Look, that last part in verse 2, this is the Old Testament version. Honor your father and mother, repeated in the New Testament, so it's still true. And it's going to give a promise with that. But I have the responsibility as a 42-year-old man to honor my father and my mother. Okay? I do not have a responsibility to obey my father and mother. You got it? There's a difference there. But let's look at that word obey. And again, this is not a fun word in our culture and in our society. What does it mean to obey? And obedience simply means that I comply with a command, direction, or request of the person in charge. I submit to their authority. Okay? Is that clear? If they give me a command or something, I comply with it. I do what they say to do. Okay? Now, a lot of times we use this verse with our kids and we say, you know, the Bible says, obey your father. Obey your father and your mother. Okay? Let me ask a question. How do children learn to obey? Someone has got to teach them. And that's where leadership comes in. Because you teach your kids what it means to obey by the way you respond to them. Okay? Now, before we go there, I want to go there real quick, but I also want to show something else in this little thing. In verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay? So fathers or leaders, you and I have a responsibility. The first thing is, he's going to start with this. Don't exasperate your children. What does it mean to exasperate your children? Exasperate your children means to lay such a heavy burden on them that they can't bear it. Okay? I'm in charge. You're going to do what I say. And then you give them instructions that, you know, they really don't want to do and you don't really need them to do it, but you're doing it because you're the dad or you're the mom or you're the leader. Right? Have you ever had a boss like that before? You're going to do it because I want you to. Well, that's really a dumb thing to do. I don't care if it's a dumb thing to do. I don't know. I don't care if this company goes down. You're going to do it because I...
How about do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. We're going to go there in just a second. Okay? Now, let's talk about why. And by the way, our job as fathers and mothers is not only to not exasperate our children, but to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Help them to understand who God is and how God wants them to live our life. Okay, now stop and think with me for a second. How does God want you to make money? Is there instruction on that in the Bible on how to make money? Is there instruction on how to spend money in the Bible? Yeah, there is. Both of those things are true. Is there instruction in the Bible on how you and I are to live our sexual lives? Yeah, there is. Okay, we can go down the list. Does God care about pretty much every aspect of our life? Absolutely. Fathers, mothers, leaders, this is a big job. This is a big job. In fact, maybe you thought you were going to work to make money to raise your family and to support your family. That's kind of job number two. The great thing about job number two is you get paid for it. Being a father, being a mother, you get no pay for it. Now, does it pay? Yes. It does. Okay, being a leader of an employee, the way that you, what you sow, you will reap. If I help this person to do well, I will reap the reward. Okay, now, why do we need to obey? Number one reason is that if you obey, if you submit yourself, you are under the umbrella of the protection. You have an umbrella of protection over you. Okay? When I was a young man, I was walking through a store, and we were looking at some things, and this man, he was like, you know, I was about 4'2", and he was about 5'6", and he came up to me, and he grabbed my arm and spun me around, and he said, "You just punched my kid, and I'm going to show you what it's like to be punched." And he went like this, and he was ready to punch me in the face. And all I remember seeing is this great big hand grab his wrist. And this guy was 5'6". My dad is 6'3". And my dad spun him around and said, "You will not touch my son, because if you do, there will be an ambulance here, and it won't be for him." Okay? And then he said, "Your son punched your other son and then pointed to my son. And my son has done nothing wrong." Folks, that's a picture. When we obey, when we do what we're supposed to do, God protects us. And our parents protect us. Look, you get out from under the umbrella, you're going to get rained on. Okay? You know this, right? Okay, second reason that we obey. Not only are we under that umbrella of protection, but there are consequences for our sin, for the things that we do wrong. Look, here's the reality. You can say this to your parents: "You can't force me to do anything. You can't force me to be like this. You can't force me to do this. I'm going to be this, whether you care about it." And the reality is, that's true. That is true. No one can force you to do anything that you don't want to do. Okay, now, what society and families can do is we can stop you from doing things. In America, we call that prison. We can't force you to follow law, but if you don't, we'll put you in a place where you can't break it anymore. Right? And one of the reasons that we obey is because there is consequences out there. And those consequences may not be prison. They may be all sorts of numerous things. Diseases. I don't even know where to begin with that. But I think you guys are with me. Okay? Next thing. We've already talked about the definition of obedience. Obedience is to comply with the command, the direction, or the request. We tell our children obedience means these three things. Okay? Obedience means these three things. Along with "you do what I tell you to do," it means these three things. First of all, it is immediate. If I give you an instruction, you follow it immediately. Okay? Second thing is you follow it completely. And third, you do it with a good attitude. Okay? Obedience includes those three things. What do I mean by immediate? Immediate means that you do it right now. I've had numerous conversations with all of my children where I say, "I want you to go do this." And when they're little, you say, "I want you to pick up your Legos." And they say, well, okay, eventually I'll pick up my Legos. And we start with the 1, 2, 3. And you got 3 seconds to start the action. And if you don't get to it on 3 seconds, there will be consequences. Right? Sometimes when my children are older, I say, I don't start counting anymore. I don't count anymore. I just look at them in the eyes and I use my dad voice. I got this voice that only comes out when it's like grave circumstance are coming, okay? If you don't comply, it's coming. You've seen my boy? He weighs 30 pounds more than me, and he's 2 inches taller than me at this point, and he's only growing. The dad voice still works on him. Okay, it still works. If we ever got into a physical altercation, I have no doubt that I would lose. Okay, but we established authority when he was this tall. And because he understands the authority, even when he's a great big kid, he's afraid of her. He's afraid of Jill. He's got 80 pounds on her and like 7 inches. Okay? And here's my comment with my children. Even now, when they don't obey immediately, what I told you was not a request. It was a command. Either start now or there will be consequences. Okay, do you feel like you just went to the principal's office? Okay, now this is what happens, what I see a lot in families. Little kids running around, brothers coming up, brother pokes him, and he, ah! And dad says, stop it. And the kid pokes him, well, stop it. And that goes on and on and on and on. And it happens over and over and over and over and over again. And then finally, dad, in a fit of fury, why don't you ever do what I tell you to do? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, now, you have taught them that until you raise your voice and you yell and scream, that they don't have to be obedient. You have one chance to obey. Because you know what kids learn real quick? If I ask for French fries and I don't get them, and I ask again and again and again and again, it may take 5, 6, 7, 8 times, but eventually mom or dad or the leader in my company or whoever, they're going to get sick of hearing it. And they're going to say, fine, I am so sick of hearing about this. Have some French fries. It's only $3. But that's not the point, is it? The point is, we have just taught our children they can be disobedient. Now, there's a sun in the solar system. The earth revolves around the sun, and the moon revolves around the earth. That is pretty plain, isn't it? In your family, there is a sun, there is an earth, and there is a moon. Okay? The sun should be God. The earth should revolve around him. We get our warmth from the sun. We get our love from God. Our course is set by the sun. All of those things. Now, the moon has an effect on the earth. We get tides. We get to go surfing because of the effect of the moon on the earth. But the earth doesn't revolve around the moon. The earth is revolved around. Okay? Parents are supposed to be the earth, and children are supposed to be the moon. But you know what I see in our society and in our culture? Children are the sun. Their parents revolve around them. We take them to soccer. We take them here. We do this. We do that. We do all these things for our children. We do it. We give them everything they want. We revolve around them. And then God kind of revolves around us. We got it backwards, folks. Okay? There is no shame in being in charge. There is no shame in being in charge. God has created fathers and mothers to be in charge. You may only be 20 years old or 25 years old when you have a newborn. You're smarter than them. Okay? You are smarter than them when they're teenagers. I know they don't believe that. But life doesn't revolve around high school. And that isn't the epicenter of wisdom. Okay? There's a reason God says, children, obey your parents. Okay? Not only is your obedience supposed to be immediate, it's also supposed to be complete. It's supposed to be complete. What does it mean to be complete? If you say, take the trash out, that doesn't mean getting it out of the trash can. It means getting it all the way to where it needs to be. Okay? If those two things don't happen, obedience has not occurred. If those two things, if it's not immediate and if it's not complete, obedience hasn't been happened. Okay? Now, this is not only true for children, but it's also true for adults, right? If you're a leader of an adult, and let me just say this. Your relationship with a person and the way that you deal with a person and the amount of influence you have on that person is going to be dictated by your relationship. In other words, with my child, I have a lot more sway. I have a lot more power. I have a lot more influence than I have with an employee of mine. Okay? And by the way, I got a lot more influence with an employee of mine than I do with someone who is a volunteer. Okay? In fact, the strength of my relationship determines how much leadership, how much influence I have in their life. Okay? I got more influence in Isaac's life than I do in some of the rest of your lives. Okay? Part of that is because of our relationship. And I sit down and say things to him that I wouldn't say to other people in our church. Why? Because there's more trust there. There's a better relationship there. Now, I've got a lot more influence in her life, which this is my daughter, if you don't know, than I have in his life. Why? Because there's a different relationship. Right? Okay? The third thing we've always said about obedience is that it must be done with a good attitude. Okay? It must be done with a good attitude. In fact, Jill and I have been known to make our children redo things when they do it with a negative attitude. That's one of the rules of our house. We don't want to hear your grumpy attitude. That's just how we are as people. If I'm an employer and I have employees and they got a negative attitude, you got two choices. Change your attitude or find another job. Right? Now, all of this sounds really harsh, doesn't it? If you were to go out into our society, and again, it's going to change with my relationship with people, how much influence I have on them and how I've got some leverage with my children, I got a lot of leverage with my children. I got some leverage with Isaac. And with most people, I have zero leverage. With a lot of you, the only leverage I have is I'm a pastor. And I'm teaching you from the Bible. That's my only leverage. And, you know, you can take it or leave it. Okay, are you guys with me? Okay. Again, if the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, whose job is it to teach them that? It's the job of the parent. It's the job of a parent. Now, let me say this. Let me throw a little grace in here and a little mercy in there. Okay? Ultimately, we all make our own decisions. We all make our own decisions. And you can be the best parent in the entire world, and your child can make their own decision and fall off the deep end and have some problems. Now, with that said, it's never too late. It's never too late. God is the God of second chances. Right? Okay? We are going to be looking at parenting for a few weeks here. We're going to be looking at this idea of leadership and my influence in people's lives and how I wield that influence and how I raise my kids and how I lead those around me, maybe in my ministry or maybe in my my small group or maybe you know, if I'm a boss or I have some kind of authority over somebody. We're going to look at all that kind of stuff, and we're going to be doing that over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to give you a sneak peek at what is going to happen next week. We're going to have to start with obedience, okay? Because in a house, you have to have a foundation. You have to have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, you can't build upon it. Okay? Now, do you know that God has given you and I a tool to teach obedience? Do you know that? And that tool that He's given us is another word that our culture and our society does not like. It is the word discipline. It is the word discipline. And next week, we're going to be looking at one aspect of discipline. Discipline has multiple facets. It's like a diamond. It doesn't have just one side. It has multiple facets to it. Part of the issue of discipline is going to be a part we don't like to talk about, punishment. There's a consequence. And I'm going to teach you how to bring consequence into people's life. I am going to bring a stuffed animal and a doll next week. And I'm going to show you how to deal out consequences to both a child and someone that works for you or someone that you have influence over. Okay? We're going to use two object lessons to do that. Okay? By the way, I have dolls in my house and they don't belong to me. I just want to throw that out. Okay? So, another aspect of discipline is all these other things we're talking about. Whose job is it to teach the children about money? The parents' job, right? You probably do money the way your parents did it. Okay? That's a discipline. How you handle your money is a discipline. And so we're going to talk about things like that. We're going to talk about things like how you get good at something. How do you teach someone to do something? Okay? Because when you're leading someone, it's got to start with obedience, But once you have obedience in place, and you can use discipline to get that obedience in place, but once you get that in place, that's when the fun starts. Okay? Look, this is how families are supposed to work. We're on a journey. We're going down the highway. And on a highway, there's guardrails. Maybe not in Hawaii, but there's guardrails. Right? And the guardrails are there to keep you safe. Okay? Here's how it works in my family. If you can stay between the guardrails, we will be really happy. We will have a fun time. We will do fun things. We can be friends. But you start trying to get out of the guardrail, I'm no longer your friend. We're not friends anymore. In fact, we weren't ever really friends. God didn't give you a friend in me. He gave you a dad. And you can cry, and you can scream, and you can carry on. I don't care. Let's get you back in the guardrails. And once you're in the guardrails, we can be friends again. Okay? Does it make sense? Excellent. Let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.